Thank you, Mark and Randy, all those songs about the name of our Lord. And that's what we want to focus on for the remainder of our time tonight. If you have a Bible at the ready, if you turn to the first chapter of 1 Peter, just want to share a few verses and just a few rather obvious thoughts, but we need to think again, considering our Lord and what He has done for us. I just want to share with you, we actually begin in verses 18, go through verse 22, 1 Peter 1, and just really talk about the fact that God gave His best when He gave us His Son. God gave His best. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. God gave His best. He gave His best for us, and He withheld nothing from us. Very familiar verses, and you know them very well, but will you just allow these to call our thoughts back to the Lord? Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He, indeed, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. God did give His best. We see that, first of all, because what He gave is better than our best. Do you see that there in verse 18. You were not redeemed with, and He uses a very particular phrase there when He says corruptible things. If I were to ask you to give a list of what is valuable, gold and silver would be on your list somewhere. It's been the commodities that we have traded in as humanity for centuries. It's that which is precious to us. Basically, uses a term there of corruptible. It really means those things which are corroding or decaying or rusting or rotting. He says that stuff that's just very temporary. He says the stuff that we consider the most valuable, the most precious, compared to the gift of God, really is just like yesterday's picnic paper plates that get, you know, cast off into the trash. Compared to what He gave, that is nothing, because what he gave is better than our best. Then He mentions something else that sometimes we hold dear, and particularly the readers to whom Peter is writing would have connected with, when he says in the end of verse 18, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. He says there's a whole philosophy, a whole philosophical thread that goes through mankind about how we can be saved, about how we can be right with God, about how we can have eternal life, how we can deal with sin and have our guilt and our shame dealt with. And for the most part, that is just aimless, mindless, pointless tradition. Most of the people in the world are still following that. Most of the people in the world, and I think you would agree, are very religious. There's no people group in the world that there isn't some form of religion or spirituality or gods or whatever. But for the most part, that is just Satan-infused lies into the traditions of men, and it really leads to hopelessness, emptiness, and despair. He says, what I give you is better than man's tradition. He says, we've not been redeemed with these corruptible things, like gold and silver. Not been redeemed by the pointless, empty things like man's tradition. But He wants to remind us, and I think these elements of communion are designed to remind us that God gave His best. He gave His best not only because what He gave is better than our best, but because what He gave is the precious blood of Christ. Because He gave the precious blood of Christ. Do you see it there in verse 18? Or verse 19? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious is not a word that flows into my speech patterns too often. There's not too, if you reduce down to a list of what is really precious, of extreme value to you, it would be a pretty short list, really. You know, what is it that you just couldn't do without, that you would do anything to preserve and to save? It'd be probably, ultimately, a very short list. But this is precious. There was nothing more precious. He gave us the precious blood of Christ. First of all, it's precious because it was Jesus' blood of who He was. God in flesh. The second person of the triune God. God Himself humbled Himself and became a man of all things, and then spent years hanging around with sinful mankind, and then humbled Himself to the point that He was killed by sinful mankind in order to die for sinful mankind. It's precious because it's His blood, and secondly, it is precious because Jesus was this spotless lamb that is mentioned here in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the Old Testament, when a lamb was required for their sacrificial uses, they had to bring one that was not the leftover, not the, that which wasn't perfect. You know, when a farmer went out to his herd, he wasn't allowed to look around and what's the smallest, poorest, scurviest looking animal we can find, and the one that's probably not going to make it anyway. We'll give that to God. No, it had to be spotless and perfect and without any blemishes, without any imperfection. And Jesus Christ is herein described as the spotless Lamb of God. He had absolutely no imperfections. You and I, among the race of mankind, have never known anyone without any imperfections. Have you noticed how it's very easy to find other people's imperfections? We have 20/20 vision to be able to find others' imperfections. Sometimes a little harder to identify our own, but just ask somebody else. They won't have any trouble. There's only been one person that's walked this earth that has walked it in perfect character and in perfect holiness and a perfect record without spot, without blemish, and this is the one who died for us. And God calls us, when we come together to partake of the bread and the cup, to remind us that this is precious. A precious gift, a precious person, precious blood. Because it's Jesus' blood, it's the one of the spotless Lamb. Well, there's a practical application coming. It talks about that in verse 20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, this is for you. It's for us. There is a direct result that God wants to remind us of in the doing. And you see that God gave His best, not only because He gave what He gave is better than our best, not only because He gave the precious blood of Christ, but thirdly, because His gift motivates our love. His gift motivates our love. He says, I want to tell you how you should respond to this. And as we have this encounter once again with the reality that Jesus died for us, as we walk out of this place tonight, we should leave with a resolve and a purpose and a focus to be people who love others and be motivated in our love for others because He loved us with such love. We see that first reality because His gift motivates our love. And this motivation was revealed. That's what He's talking about there in verse 20. It says, yes, this was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. Back before time itself existed, God had determined that this would be the plan, that Jesus would be the one, and salvation would be the result. He said, yes, that occurred in eternity past, but He said, in our present time, it is revealed. God wants us to know about His love. In some ways, whenever we partake of the cup and the bread, once again an opportunity to pull out God's love letter to us and be reminded that He loved us. Does anyone here have a box somewhere where you got some, some of us that have some age on us, that you got a box of love letters from days gone by? Do you have one of those? Some of you are smiling. Some of you are saying, I don't know where that is. You got any of those old love? Of course, now my children's generation aren't going to have any of those. It's all email and instant message and text message and chatting. But some of us actually have pieces of paper with ink written on them from years ago. And maybe you've had the experience of running into that as you're cleaning out a closet or somewhere or getting in the attic and you find that, what a precious thing. Well, this is our opportunity to get into the attic and once again be reminded how much God loves every one of us.
And then he wants to, that has been revealed to us, and then he wants to motivate us to love others. Look at the next verse. Verse 21 and then into 22. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see, it is that revealed love that brings us to God, and here's the result. Verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. He says, if God loved us when we did not deserve it in such a fashion, by what right, by what standard, by what logic can we withhold our love for other people? Even if they do not, and they probably don't, deserve unconditional love. You see, unconditional love overpowers and overtakes and just completely washes over any imperfections of others. We love them anyway. We all like unconditional love when it comes our direction, but we need a little extra motivation to be dispensing that to others. Here's the motivation: that we would love one another fervently with a pure heart. No mask of hypocrisy, no what can I get out of it, no calculation for self, but just to love others as Christ loved us. And this is our mandate tonight. That we would once again look at the love letter of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and realize that the Father in giving Him gave us the best, because what He gave us is better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than man's traditions. It is the gift of the precious blood of Christ, because it's Jesus' blood, the one who was the spotless Lamb of God. And it is that which should motivate us to love others, because we have experienced anew and thought anew and been confronted anew with the reality that God loved us in a limitless, unconditional, unrestrained, absolutely gloriously generous fashion when He gave us His Son. So in just a moment, we're going to sing a song and get prepared. But if you could just pull up that imagery, at least as our thinking, to realize that once again, God's giving us a chance to look at His gift of love, and we need to love others. Father, thank You for that truth. Help us, Lord, as we partake, as we demonstrate once again the death of our Lord and Savior. We thank You for Your love, that You gave not what was the leftover, but You gave what was best. Lord, help us to give our best to others. Help us to be those that love one another fervently. And with a pure heart, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.